to Plot Twist I Forgot. I'm Davin.
I'm Laura.
And well, you sound so depressed.
I'm Laura. Still Laura.
Hey guys, I'm Laura. we are back.
I haven't seen the sun in 6 days because I live in the Midwest. And now I'm Eeyore.
And I was going to say, hey, Eeyore, when did you become my co-host? That's fun. It is crazy. Yeah, so it's December. We're fully in the winter months and gets dark at 5:30.
Happy December.
Happy December.
5:30? 4:30. Oh, you don't do daylight savings time, you oop. You're going to have to bleep that. Ouch. You're going to have to bleep that, too. I'm really struggling over here. You should see my audio levels. They're like, whoosh.
I can't wait to listen to it. Holy cow. Sorry. Well, welcome to the most chaotic intro we've ever had to an episode ever. Can you believe we've been doing this, at least recording, for like since July? And now we're going to do our end of year recaps.
Yeah.
How crazy.
It's really fun. It's a really good time. I mean, I do feel like we're doing it just to talk to each other, and then we put that on the internet for some reason, but it is a really good job. It's really fun.
It is. Like, I was realizing that, because I was like, oh, you know, like, we've kind of neglected our Instagram. Like, you know, we're not really taking that seriously. This is purely just for us to have another outlet to talk about books, and then, like, maybe... Two other people will like listen, and that is okay to me, to be honest.
I'm gonna do better about the Instagram next year.
I know, I was thinking, like, my day job is marketing, and I was like, maybe I'll come up with a plan, and I'm like, meh, I could.
ChatGPT will come up with a plan.
But yeah, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll take it seriously someday. Yeah, sorry guys, I hate ChatGPT, bane of my existence. So we're here.
As you should.
Yeah, AI freaks me out, you guys. There's like, you know, there's the two camps. Like, everyone, like, I love AI or you hate it. And I'm firmly in the I mostly hate AI camp, to be honest.
I'm pretty afraid of it.
Yeah, I think the people who haven't read all the horror stories about it yet somehow, when I feel like that's all there is. So, I would love to hear your point.
Look, I watched The Terminator at a very young age. And,
yeah, same.
I'm good.
Yeah, don't want that. I mean, great movies. Don't want that to be my real life, though. Thanks. Hard pass.
Or no, smart. Thank you.
Smart homes also not doing that either. Because they'll.
We have a lot of smart home things, and sometimes Google will like interrupt us watching television, and Ray will be like, "Hey Google, mind your bad word." Own business, and I'll be like, don't talk to her like that. You're gonna be the first person she kills when she becomes sentient. Like, don't do that.
Like, still be nice to the tech, but have like an appropriate level of respect and fear of it, because it is not your friend.
Be nice to the robot that lives in the television, okay? Because
you don't know what they're capable of.
I'm afraid of her and the doorbell. Just be nice.
And the doorbell. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, we're here to, we have not another reread, but this month we are sharing first our top five favorite books from 2024. And then we have another kind of top five coming at you in 2 weeks that you're just going to have to listen to and find out. So,
I wonder what that could be.
Oh no, it's so hard to deduce what we could possibly be ranking at the end of the year. I know, we're super mysterious, you guys.
I feel very mysterious.
Well, also, we were talking too that most of these books, not only are our list potentially like somewhat similar, we've already talked about a lot of these. So,
yeah.
It's kind of like the best of Plot Twist I Forgot, and you get to hear about more books again about why we loved them. So much.
Yeah, I do feel like it's probably going to be like not only a recap of our reading year, but a recap of books we've talked about on the podcast, which is helpful because I've been asked to add the books into the show notes, so I can just add them this time.
Ooh, hey, okay. Well, that is a good plus. That's a good plus going forward, too. Okay, do you want to popcorn this?
Yes, I want you to start.
Okay, so first one that I had to choose was Five Broken Blades by Mae Cortland.
I read that first chapter. Yay for me.
Oh my god, you still haven't read it. I I love this. I saw someone on TikTok compare it. They're like, if you kind of want something that feels like an adult Six of Crows, then read Five Broken Blades. And
yeah,
I definitely get why, because Mae Corlin does the dialogue and the banter and the found family wittiness that like Leigh Bardugo can do. She also does as well. And the world is just so cool. Like, for anyone who doesn't know, it is about these five people who are brought together from various walks of life, but they all are just, maybe they're a thief or they're like a poison maiden, or they're just these, you know, maybe not the best people, to be honest. And they are all brought together under the one goal of killing an immortal king. And they have to figure out how they're even going to do this. And so you know, you get all their backstories and then them coming together and trying to figure this out. And there's going to be a sequel. And the ending is such good setup for the next one. Like, I am so excited for book two because of how this ends. It's so fun. It was such a good time.
It's on my list to complete because I pre-ordered the second one, which I think comes out in like January or March. I don't remember, but it comes out relatively soon.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's January, and they did, like, the covers are so pretty. So this one also has sprayed edges. I think it's one of those ones where
they're
all going to go together in some way. So that's going to be exciting. I think it's Four Ruined Realms is the next one. And I want to say it's like January 25th it comes out.
Yeah. I just know I pre-ordered it, so.
Yeah, same. A lot of pre-orders coming in. What's your first one?
Okay. My first of my actual top five is The Dead Cattail Assassins by P. Jelly Clark.
Okay.
And this is a novella, and it follows an assassin who is dead, but not dead. But not a zombie. Don't call them zombies. And she takes this charge, assignment, whatever, and it's turns out to be a girl. And one of the assassin rules is, you know, you have to complete your assignment. And when she sees this girl, she has an impossible face, and that impossible face is very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
But she's never broken a contract. She's never missed her mark. So how can she not carry out this mission? And it just, the places that it goes in such a short amount of time is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The world building is amazing. And I think it's only 200 pages.
Really?
So I did the audio, and obviously it was very quick, but the places it goes, the world building and the lore of where they live in this ancient city, and there's a festival going on, at all of these things are happening at once. It's only 200 pages long, and it's just so good. It was one of those books where it has a definitive ending. I wasn't disappointed mm-hmm. in the fact that it was a novella, but it was so good that I was like, man, I could read a book twice that length based on this story.
Ooh, I love that. That does sound fun. I did
get
it on audio after you were talking about it. I think whenever you talked about it the first time, because you did mention that you were reading it and really enjoying it, and I ended up downloading mm-hmm. it. And so, yeah, I'm excited to check that one out, because I think the cover was pretty cool too, from what I remember.
Yeah, it's a black girl, and she's holding two knives.
That's right.
I don't know what the knives are called.
Like the kind of...
And they're crossed, and she's got this cat mask on, and she just looks like deadly and so cool.
Yes.
So it's got a great cover, and I really, like, I can't say enough about the story, but you can't talk about it very much because, like, things move so fast, and I don't want to include any spoilers. I went into it completely blind. I'm like, there's an assassin, and that was all I had, and I just have loved P. Jelly Clark's other work, and so I was like, this will be great. And it was.
What else have they written?
So, Ring Shout is one. They have another novella. A Master of Djinn is another novella of theirs.
Okay, I never...
That I loved.
I own that, but I haven't read it yet.
And then there's The Black God's Drums, which is another novella that's excellent. He just does novellas so well and gets so much accomplished in a short amount of time where I'm not left being like, well... That wasn't enough. Like, it was enough. I just want more.
I love those. Are always so fun. We're like, okay, I'm satisfied. But if you wanted to write more in this world, you totally could. And I would just read every single word of it. And that is it. Okay, my next one is probably not shocking at all. I tried not to include it, but it would be a crime not to include it, and that is The Angel of Indian Lake by Stephen Graham Jones. This is the final finale of J. Daniels, and I just loved this one so much. Like, I loved how he kind of, like, what we've talked about before, like staying true to the characters and like development and everything. He really stayed true to who the character was, who she is, and her trauma, and it was very realistic with what she was going through. And the horror movie references are always so top tier. And the way he writes, this one was so cinematic. Like, I could see some of this just so clearly while reading it. And I don't know how he does it, but I swear to God, every ending of his punches you in the heart in some way. And the ending of this one is no, I still think, like, how the second one ends is still my favorite, like the ending lines of that one. And this is a top second. Ending lines of Angel of Indian Lake are just so, it's perfect. It was so good.
I did finally finish My Heart Is a Chainsaw, in your honor.
Thank you so much.
It is better than I initially thought. It's still not my favorite of his, but it really was the ending. I was just like, well, that's not, no. Why? Actually, that was not my reaction. My reaction was rage. And somewhere in our chat history is me in all caps for about a paragraph being like, that's not fair, and this isn't fair, and why is it like this? And boo, 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 boo.
And I was like, wow, you're really angry with him. And she's like, I'm angry at you too. And I'm like, that's fair. It is, yeah, it's just, it does really, I can't say too much without spoiling it, but it does follow certain themes we've talked about kind of recently. And it's, I just, yeah, you really feel for her. And then all these things happen, and it's just magical. It's, yeah, that's it. I'm gonna talk about this for hours, so you're gonna have to cut in. What's your next one?
Speaking of AI, my number four pick is Bury Your Gaze by Chuck Tingle.
Yes, I knew one of us was gonna pick this one.
It was such a good story and original in a way. Like, there's a lot of technology and AI horror going around right now. And I just think Chuck Tingle writes so well. So, this follows a screenwriter who refuses to kill off two of his gay characters in a show that he's running. And management is like, well, if you don't do it, we're gonna fire you or whatever. But that's really not the best option. And then he starts seeing characters he's written in horror movies and his real life. And he has to figure out how to deal with that and also how to get out of his sticky situation with the company that he's working for. And chaos ensues. And it was such a fun horror novel and something that I hadn't really read before. And so I love it. And I want to go back and read Camp Damascus as soon as possible. And I also want to read one of his not romance novels, his erotica novellas, because the titles
His
are the
tinglers.
best.
Okay, so tell me why I finally.
The Tinglers.
There's a couple coworkers. One of them reads some of the same books that we do, and another one just likes to read fantasy in general. So I was like, we need to, like, when are we starting a book club, right? So they're like, let's do it. And then, one of them was like, oh, I found our first one, and it was like some weird ogre love swamp story. And I was like, one, absolutely not. Two, I can top this right now with another recommendation. And I sent them one of Chuck Tingle's, and they're like, what is this? I was like, listen, that's just all you get. This is, have fun. But I, yeah, Bury Your Gaze was so good. And I think that's another one for me where, like, if he wanted to write spin-off stories about those characters that we meet, because I can't really, okay, I can't say that because that would be a spoiler. But just in general, the various kind of storylines and the media that is mentioned in it, I would love just to see what that story is because the characters are really cool. And I think it would just make it
Yeah,
so
they are.
fun to really dive into that.
It's a really good time. And I will say the airplane scene is my favorite. And anyone who's read it or will read it, that's my nightmare.
I think my favorite scene, the bride scene. I really liked the second one of that. That was like my favorite introduction kind of random thing that we got. That was really fun. My next one, again, also kind of talked about this, is Fever House by Keith Rawson. I already kind of gave a brief synopsis of this one before, but for anyone maybe who didn't listen to that one yet, this one was a very fun, like, apocalyptic zombie story about the fall of society. And, you know, you have this hitman or his apprentices or, you know, his goons or whatever you want to call them. And they're trying to go get this guy for money. And he's like, okay, wait, I'll go with you, but let me just go get this one thing really quick. And it's a severed hand that makes you feel very angry when you're in its vicinity. So it kind of just goes from that to, like, governmental agencies, secret ops, and weird creatures. And it was just the most perfect weird book to get me out of, at the time, was going to be a huge reading slump. And so it was.
Yeah.
It's just so, it would make a great movie, to be honest. It was, yeah, I would recommend. And the second one just came out too. I think it's like The Devil Knows Your Name.
Yeah, I thought it was coming out soon or had just come out because I remember seeing it again. It's funny because, like, that book sounds so good to me, but I hate the cover.
Oh, seriously? I love the cover.
And that's the reason why I didn't, like, pick it up initially. I don't even know why. I just, like, don't. It does not jive with me.
No, I honestly think that with everything that you would love it. Because, like, it's not Tanis vibes in the same way. But, like, I think just with the plot that it has and the stuff that you like, you would also really enjoy it. Because it is just very much, like, the plotting is done really well. Secret stuff. And it kind of just feels like, if Terry Miles were to read this, he would approve of it. So I think that means you need to read it.
Yeah, I'm sure I would. It's on my list. I will one day get around to it. My next one, I listened to this earlier in the year. I think it came out in 2023, not 2024. But it's Bright Young Women by Jessica Knoll.
Yes, oh, good one.
So it follows a college student who survives a kind of killing spree at her sorority house. And it's pretty obviously based off of Ted Bundy. Mm-hmm. But it follows the women instead of the serial killer. So you actually, like, don't hear about him at all. You get nothing from his perspective. You don't really know a lot about his life other than what is through the eyes of his victims or his one surviving victim. And it's dual timeline, you know. You have the present where I think she's going back to Florida for his trial, parole, I don't know. Not parole, trial, something. I don't remember why she's going back to Florida. I read this at the beginning of the year, and you know the name of this podcast. So the present timeline is she's going back to Florida to confront him or something about him in some way. And then you have her timeline when she was at school, and then you have some POVs from other victims. Is that a spoiler?
No, so you do, you, no.
Okay. So it's really well done. I like that it's kind of like a feminist take on a serial killer story where you're not just, like, focusing on him and his crimes and what happened. It's the women behind it and what drives them and how they ended up in these situations. And it was just really well done and I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I think I've read all her books and I really like them. And I remember when she was, like, first talking about this and she was talking about how she was doing research into a serial killer, but she was like, I'm not going to say who or share many more details than that because anyone into true crime is going to know who it is just based on anything I could say. Right. And it is very obvious, but I like how she handled the, like, pitching of it or when she was going on press tours about it because she never really said who it was about. Like, she never refers to him by his name except one time at the end. Like, Ted Bundy is not in, he's in the story, but he's also not in the story. And it was really cool how she handles it.
Right.
In terms of the victim, the women behind it.
Right. And there's also, like, a few instances where she's like, he's not smart and he's not attractive. Like, and it was just,
I loved that so much. Right. That was, it reminds me of, did you ever read The Nothing Man by Katherine Ryan Howard?
No, it's still on my list.
You should, because that one, that premise was so, so cool. But there's a point where they're talking to someone who is like a college professor, and she's teaching about, for some reason, she is lecturing about serial killers. So it's maybe like a psychology class or something, but she mentions how she has a pin that says Ted Bundy wasn't hot. And I was like, I would pay money for that, because 100% same.
I want the one that says, there's a coffee mug that says Ted Bundy was a Republican.
That is also a good one. Like, just all the red flags about Ted Bundy would.
I mean, Democrats have some bad ones too, but I'm going to ignore that for my enjoyment and only mention that Ted Bundy was a Republican.
Yeah, he was a young Republican or whatever that was. Yeah, that one was just, I love that one too. My next one also had mentioned this already, so quick blurb again is Immortal Longings by Chloe Gong. And more so just that and the sequel Vilest Things. Those were, I loved the plotting of those. They were so fun. And for anyone who loves fantasy and loves Throne of Glass and just the very much plot-driven fantasy books, that there is a little romance in this, but it's not heavy romance, like romanticy in any way. It was very much well done. It follows this, you know, two people in a kingdom where it is very much, it's in the future, it's very overpopulated. Everyone, unfortunately, because it's overpopulated, can't afford much. So you have like people living on top of people and just this whole situation. And every year they do this game where you can enter to be part of like the 87 or 88 people who are playing this game to murder each other for months. There's no really end to this game. And whoever wins gets a bunch of money and gets to meet the king. And so you have the rogue princess who murdered her family. And then you have this other guy who somehow fell from grace, and you don't really know why or what happened. And they are in the games together, and it's just chaos and social commentary. And I feel weird saying it's a good time after saying some of that stuff, but it was a very great book to read.
It is. Yeah, it is. It is good. I really like the first one. I haven't got to the second one, which I've said, but I agree that it's a good time. It's really fun. It's like a fresh take on sort of a Hunger Games type story. Mm-hmm. And it's
kind of like a good for her arc too. And I really like the main character, because she is angry and she does lean into her rage quite a bit. And
yeah,
just that rage trip is, there's some strong women in the books too, even in the sequel. And it's fun to follow in all the questions. You get some questions answered, then you have about 85 million more, and she knows really how to keep you going through right. A series of just wanting more.
My next one is one that we have talked about at length, and it's We Used to Live Here by Marcus Kleiber. Not sure that I said his last name correctly. Because we've talked about this so much, I'm not going to do a big synopsis. You know, there's a couple that's renovating a house. Somebody comes knocking at the door and says, we used to live here. May I show my family, you know, my old childhood bedroom or whatever? And they let them in, and everything goes terribly wrong in all of the worst ways, to a point where you're questioning your sanity. And this book goes places that were like really unexpected. And I just, for that reason, really enjoyed it. And like we've talked about, it's very similar to a Terry Miles podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's just so well done. I cannot wait to see what he does next.
Was this, and I think we maybe talked about this, was this his debut?
Yeah. So he did a Reddit story, like a creepypasta Reddit situation, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think he's worked with the No Sleep podcast.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So, but this was his debut full-length novel.
Yeah, that, we did talk about this quite a bit, but that one was so fun, and the audio was really great. I highly recommend, especially if you like those multimedia books, because there is a lot that goes into it, and the audio just does it really well, to where it kind of feels like at certain times you're listening to a podcast, and I really enjoyed that.
Yes. Oh my god, the sun.
You saw the sun.
I see the sun.
Bye-bye, Eeyore. My last one is a little surprising, but not really surprising. It got me out of a really bad reading slump, and so I very much appreciated it. It was very fun, and that is What the River Knows by Isabel Ibáñez. I don't know if I'm saying her name right. Yes.
Oh. I know what you're talking about. There was a book of the month. She goes to Egypt?
Yeah, she goes to Egypt. So yeah. We're following our main character, whose name is Inez, and She lives in Buenos Aires, and she, you know, she lives with her aunt, or her aunt stays with her, because for half the year, both her mom and dad, for as long as she's been alive, spend half their time in Egypt, but they won't take her. But then they come back and they're telling her about all their travels and the adventures and how fun it is. And she, one, loves to hear those stories, but is so upset that she is never taken along. So she has this kind of hurt resentment towards her parents. And then unfortunately, when her parents, she's waiting for them to come back, they die. And she is just like, okay. And she ends up just traveling to Egypt, you know, because her uncle is now her ward and in charge of, he's like the power of attorney of the estate. And so she is just not really getting the answers she wants. And so she goes to Egypt to figure out, you know, not only what is going on, but she's always wanted to travel to Egypt because of what her family has said about it. And, you know, she kind of feels like Egypt, her parents loved Egypt more than her. So she's trying to go there to rectify a lot and the magic. And it has a tie into also Immortal Longings. I read Immortal Longings right after this, and it was a fun kind of tie in to, because they deal with us the same historical figure a little bit. And it was fun. It was like, it's light magical realism.
Yeah. I got that book and was very excited about it, and then just like never found the time to get around to it. I know the sequel just came out too.
It did.
It's been a year since it's been on my TBR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one is, it was, I would recommend it to anyone, especially right now. I think this is the time of year where we all want some kind of cozy fantasy in a way. And this is,
I need a whole bunch of fantasy to escape into. That's my plan.
Well, here you go. Here's one to start. And the secret, perfect. It's a finished duology. So
love that for me. My last one, once again, we have talked about Ad Nauseam on this podcast, but I simply can't help myself because it's my favorite book of the year, and it's I Was a Teenage Slasher by Stephen Graham Jones.
I was torn between picking that and Angel of Indian Lake, but I was like, I gotta stick with my girl Jay Daniels. I can't step out of line.
Yeah, and I accept that. I think featured this one on a podcast episode, so I'm really not going to get into it very much. You know, it's an autobiography of a teenage slasher, and that's all you need to know. It's great. It's filled with so much heart. The audio is amazing. I can't recommend it enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my favorite book of the year.
Oof.
It's funny because to make this list, I went through and I looked at Storygraph and all of the books that I had rated 5 stars, and there were 17 of them. But here's the thing. I reread Throne of Glass this year.
So that accounted for 10 of them. Got it.
Right. So it didn't really count. And so I was like, man, I didn't read a lot of books that I was like obsessed with this year. Except for ones we've already talked about on this podcast. And then, you know, there are a few outliers. I have an honorable mention, but it's your turn to talk now.
Oh, yeah. No, I felt the same. I was, like, going and, you know, I set my reading goal. I need to get back onto Storygraph because I feel like each year I switch between, like, really using Storygraph or really using Goodreads. And I don't, you know, cross over too much. But when I was looking through, I felt the same of, like, I read some good books, but not none that, like, the ones I was obsessed with, we talked about quite a bit. But since you have an honorable mention, I could honorably mention Blood Over Brighthaven, and that is by M.L. Wang. This was a indie book that got really recently traditionally published. I think at the end of October it came out, and it is a doozy of a book, to be quite honest with you. Deals with a lot about colonialism and taking things that aren't yours and then demonizing the people who had it first. And there's sexism. And it has probably Siona Freinen, and I'm so saying her name wrong. She is my new favorite female main character. She's definitely up there. She is 27, which I found refreshing that the main character is older. Not that I don't like a YA. Yes. Love YA, but it's cool to see someone in their late 20s. Doing some things.
Right. You need to, it's okay. Everything important doesn't happen to a 22-year-old. Okay. You're still important at 32. Discover magic at 32. You know, open a weird book and get shocked. Like Spider-Man. You don't have to be a teenager.
Exactly.
That spider could have bitten a 70-year-old dude. Like, just
And, it still would have happened. No one needed Peter Parker. That spider was going to go anywhere. But same here. So her, in this world, there's magic. And because the world is very sexist, like you have, the world was like saved by mages. And being a mage is a very high honorable position. And it's very academic. And while yes, women can go to school to be magically trained, they typically stop at a certain point because then they're going to be teachers or some sort of, you know, appropriate quote unquote role for a woman in her very feeble mind, because women can't be high mages because their disposition doesn't allow them, and Sayona is like, screw that, I'm gonna be the first female high mage. And she is, and now she is trying to like deal with the sexism of her colleagues because she's the first one, but also she's dealing with, they're tasked with this very important thing to do. And through her research, she's finding out the truths of the country that she, and the thing that she loves so much, which is magic. And now she has to come to terms with it. And what does that mean? And very ballsy ending, to be honest, that this has, but it's also, it gets you so quickly. Like I was reading on Kindle in the first chapter, best first chapter I've read in a long while, just with the scene setting and everything. But you know how like the Kindle will tell you it'll take you like 30 minutes to finish this chapter. If you're locked into this book, you're gonna fly through it. It was so good. It was Sayona Freinen. She says the things that you want her to say. She is very snarky and witty and not afraid to show it to people. And
I do love that.
I love her so much. So highly recommend checking that out too.
My honorable mention is also a fantasy. This is a series. It's the Kindred's Curse Saga. The first book is Spark of the Everflame, and that is by Penn Cole.
Okay.
So I want to say, I listened to three of these, I think, this year.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed all of them, but it's very hard for me to describe the first book because I've already read the third one.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's one of those ones where, like, things start out very chill, and then they end very not chill. So it follows a girl, and her mother has disappeared, and her mom was the healer in the main castle, and she finds out that if she doesn't fulfill this, then her brother might get kicked out of school. So she's like, well, I will take over my mom's position and be the healer for the king. And then things go awry. You know, mortals don't have magic. The king and the courts do. It's like a caste system. So there's mortals and then people with magic. And she's a mortal in this world of people with magic, and it's very dangerous for her. And that's all I can really say. But it's just a very good series. It's one of those ones that sucks you in, and you're like, well, I'm going to binge this now. And that's exactly what I did. I listened to, like, all three books in the first month or so that I was traveling into the city for my job, and it was a great time.
Is it a... I love that cover. I just looked it up. Is it a romantasy book?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
But in, it's slow burn.
Okay. I can get behind that.
And I mean that in the slowest sense.
Okay. Like I don't mind a slow burn. Is it like slow burn, get on with it finally? Like, okay, we're tired of this?
No.
Okay.
No, I think it works. I think it works. It does take a little bit longer than I would like, mostly because, you know, in typical book fashion, there's the whole nobody miscommunication. Nobody is ever saying what they're thinking, and it's very, very annoying. But I also obviously like it because I listened to all three books in record time. So it's just, it takes longer to happen than you think it should.
Interesting. Okay. Oh, there's a fourth one coming out, or it is out. Did you read that?
I thought it came out in October, but I have not yet.
Those covers are confusing. They all look the same.
The covers are very, very similar.
They're like exactly the same, except like just little tiny changes.
Yes. And the titles are all vaguely similar as well. So you've got to pay attention.
Yeah.
That's on you. It's not on me. The first one is called Spark on the Everflame. Best of luck to you after that.
Yeah, there are like Glow of the Everflame, Heat of the Everflame. and Correct. Burn of the Everflame. Like, okay.
Uh-huh. And then the covers are exactly the same, only they're, like, blue instead of green. Like,
yeah, they're, like, primarily gold, and here's, like, a little bit of purple. There's the second one.
Uh-huh.
Or it's blue right. or something. So that's interesting. Right. Well, glad you enjoyed that. I remember you talked about that quite a bit when you were first reading it. I know you really liked it.
Yeah, they're fun.
Fun. Yeah, I feel like I really hope 2025 is a better reading year in the sense that I'm obsessed with more books than I was this year.
Yeah, this was a dry year for me. I was not really feeling a lot of it. Like, most of it was just okay, and that could be, you know, I moved and I was commuting very far for work, and maybe I was just, like, lackluster with a lot of things, but I was not super into much this year besides rereading Throne of Glass.
Yeah, and The Hunger Games, for me, that was kind of my bright spot,
I think,
this year, was rereading that. And
same.
I mean, we're going to talk about it later, but there's some things I'm excited about for 2025, so... Yeah.
Is there anything that... So, we're recording this not in December, so we have a month-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you want to get to before the end of the year off the top of your head?
Yeah, so I'm going to start. I sent this book to you, too. I really want to read The Phoenix King, and that is by Aparna Verma, I want to say. Aparna Verma. I will share in the show notes, I'll send it to Laura, what her Instagram handle is. It's like Spirited Gal or something, but... She promotes her books really well. Apparently, she wrote this really cool female main character. So I don't know the plot that much outside of the main character is supposed to be a firebender, but she can't access her powers, which really sucks because she's the heir to the throne mm-hmm. of these people who have really cool firebending powers. There's that. And then I do also want to read Immortal Dark this year. So fingers crossed. You read that one. Did you finish Immortal Dark?
Oh, yes.
No,
I didn't finish it. Shh. Don't tell anyone.
I wasn't.
It was great, though. It's so great. It's just, because of where my mind is, I just, you know, moved on. But I'm going to go back to it. It's really good. You'll like it. I know you will.
Those are mine. What are yours? What are you hoping to get to?
I am going to start The Stardust Grail. Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I've done it to myself again. It's The Stardust Grail by Yume Kitase. I totally said that wrong, for sure, and I apologize. And this is, it's a, like, Indiana Jones space heist.
Yeah, I was reading some of it. I got through half, maybe 30% of it, and I kind of paused for a second. But, yeah.
I need something very different, because I'm done with horror for the year, I think. I think I overdid it. And then I tried the Dark Academia fantasy that we recently read, and I wasn't a fan. And so I'm like, space, we're going to space. I need something just completely different.
Yes, seriously.
So I'm launching myself into the sun. So that's my plan.
Well, let me know how it goes, and I may join you.
Yeah. So I want to do that. Boldface Lie, because I also want to read Memorials.
Yes.
By someone.
Richard Chismar.
That's who it's by. I really want to read that one. But it's solely based upon Aardvark Book Club posted those mood boards.
Yes.
And it looks like the Blair Witch Project. And so I'm like, perfect.
I know.
That sounds great. So I really want to do that one. I feel like there was one more, but I should probably leave it at two because that's more reasonable. I have some audiobooks that I'm going to get to, but I'm off the top of my head. I don't know. I do really want to read The Phoenix King because it sounds great.
I'll let you know. I started a little buddy read chat. So if you want to be thrown into it, you should. I don't know how long this series will be. I know the sequel is out. Part of me is scared that all the stuff she's showing happens in the sequel. You know, I really just want to see a villainous female main character.
I feel like...
And I'm so nervous.
I feel like that's always... I feel like that's always how it goes. I bet you get her village origin story in book one. I bet book one is... It doesn't start off with her being bad.
And then but it ends with her, like, okay, now I'm going to be a villain. Like, I'm sure it has to be, like, a cliffhanger ending or something. She promotes her books so well, so I would highly recommend following her, because every time I see a reel, I'm like, okay, gotta do it. Gotta go buy it.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh, you know what else I do want to get to this year? And just because the cover's really pretty, and I have a copy with sprayed edges, and again, I'm sinking into a fantasy world, is When the Moon Hatched by Sarah A. Parker.
Right. You talked about this when we were talking about doing a buddy read, because it's dragons, right?
Yeah, it's dragons. And that's really, I don't have the synopsis in front of me, but it's a fantasy. There are dragons. I've heard really good things. And people are like, hey, if you read Fourth Wing and you were excited about dragons, but then you weren't very excited about the rest of Fourth Wing, read When the Moon Hatched. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay, that could be promising then, because felt that.
Yeah.
Hot take.
Although I did love Fourth Wing. I just did not love Iron Flame.
Yeah, me either. That's something. That's a different discussion.
That was something, for sure. So yeah, those are things I want to read before December ends.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
There's also, I have an audio that's like Baking It Merry or something, and it's a holiday rom-com, which I do one of those every year at least, because I've gone soft in my old age.
Well, yeah, you were texting when we were doing back-to-back horror, because we both kind of were. You're just like, I've read too many dark things, I think. I need something else. Must do something else.
I gotta change my mood. It's dark outside all the time. I leave for work at like 5:45 in the morning. I drive to work in pitch darkness. When I arrive at work, the sun rises. And then when I leave, the sun is setting. And by the time I get home, it's dark again. And I just need something happy.
Yeah, it's that time of year. So let us know, what were your favorites this year? Are there any magic book recommendations that you would give us? Because I think that's what the next like 3 months are. This is the time for really good fantasy books. So
yeah, let us know what we missed, because 2024 was a bore for me.
Yeah, seriously. And we'll talk. We have an exciting premise for the next one. I'm sure you guessed it, but stay tuned for that. And we'll talk about more book recs that we're thinking about. So you can follow us at Plot Twist I Forgot. Our handles will be below, as will be the books we talked about, so that you can go and grab them if you want, learn more about them, and hit us up on socials to tell us what you're going to be reading this end of the year. And
we will see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.